Today's scripture is from the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and should be one of the most reassuring, comforting passages in the entire Bible, for mothers in particular, but really for all of us. From verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These are Jesus' words, and what he's talking about here is a concept that in Hebrew is called Shabbat Shalom, which means the peace of the Sabbath. And in fact, the next chapter is titled "The Lord of the Sabbath" and describes how Jesus came to fulfill the Sabbath. So how is it that so many people have this concept that the Sabbath, which is right up there in the Ten Commandments, number 4, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, why is that people think of the Sabbath as a burden? As a burden instead of a gift. Is it because it's a commandment? I know that nowadays we don't like commandments. We don't like laws. We don't like following them. We think that speed limits are suggestions. And there are people who think the Ten Commandments are the 10 suggestions of God, too. But the commandments were given to a very primitive people. Thousands of years ago, to help them form a civilization that would work. One that wouldn't be violent, one that would have families that clung to one another and cared for one another, one where neighbors would not be against neighbor but would support one another, one where there would be communities of caring. And the Sabbath commandment was intended not to be the kind of burden that we made it later, but to be a gift, a precious and perfect gift from God. The opportunity for slaves who worked 6 days a week, 7 days a week, 14, 18, 20 hours a day, to have a chance to rest, and more importantly, to renew their spirits by worshiping God. To have a day when they did nothing at all except to focus on the presence of God. Now, I know that when I was a young mother, there was nothing I needed more than Sabbath rest. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace. Because my life was chaotic. I remember especially a period of time when I was going to seminary and serving a church and had 2 small kids at home. And I would write papers, and in the midst of writing a paper, I'd stop to bake cookies because the kids were coming home, and then I'd stop to take a call from the church and to write a funeral sermon, and then I'd stop to take the cookies out of the oven, and then I'd stop to greet the kids coming home. Life was chaotic. There was very little peace. Anybody been there? There was very little opportunity for rest. Anybody been there? And I used to long for the time when I would be out of school and serving a church full time and I would have time for Sabbath rest. That didn't work out either. But even before I was in seminary, I was in this incredible job where I was the principal of a school for kids with behavior problems. I only lasted in that job for a year. These kids had been court-ordered into the school. It was one step short of juvie. We had armed guards in the hallway. And this was 28 years ago. It was a long time ago. My life was so stressful because I was supposed to control the behavior of the kids and supervise the teachers and organize the schedule and everything else that a principal does. And my husband was in seminary. So I'd leave this chaotic daily environment and go home to this seminary where people talked about God all the time. And I used to tell those seminary students that it was a good thing I was around because they needed a connection with the real world. But I had one Sabbath blessing in my life in those days, and that was that on my drive home, I worked in Columbus, on the east side of Columbus, near Reynoldsburg, and I would drive up to the seminary in Delaware where my husband was studying, and at the entrance to the seminary, there was this pond with a fountain in it. And I would stop my car near enough to that pond that I could watch the fountain. Because I had to detox before I went home to my two little boys. I couldn't take the tension and the stress home to them. I needed to be a mom to them. And I would watch the fountain and I learned, and I would watch for just the right spot to stop my car where the afternoon sun would be coming through that fountain and making rainbows, making the drops of water form a rainbow. Because I knew the rainbow was a promise from God. And I claimed it not as the sort of promise it was intended to be, not the promise of the ark, but my own personal promise that someday life would be less chaotic. And I learned that if I pulled my car up a little bit and then backed it up a little bit and pulled it forward a little bit and backed it up a little bit, the rainbow would dance. And I would watch that dancing rainbow and I could set aside all of the tension and the stress and the unpleasantness of a day of taking drugs and guns away from kids and really have a spirit of joy and peace in my life and realize the promise of Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest isn't just a nap. Rest is the sense of God's presence and peace. Shabbat shalom. Now, it was many years later I learned that Sabbath, well, you know, God labored 6 days and then rested on the seventh and wants us to have a day of rest also. Well, many of us, my day of rest is actually Friday, because Sunday is a day of work for me. So I have Sabbath time on Friday. Usually my husband and I go on a date on Fridays because we both have the same day off. We've done it for years. It's a restorative for marriage, by the way. I recommend it. Date time weekly, whenever you can get it. It Many years after that time of watching the dancing fountain, by the way, they changed the entrance to the seminary. You can't do that anymore. But God put it there for me just when I needed it. I was teaching the second year of disciple. I didn't like it much. But every week there was this concept of Sabbath that it was teaching us. That Sabbath was more than just a day a week. Although that day is incredibly important and worshiping God is very important, it's the only gift we can give back to God. Finding Sabbath time can be done anytime, anywhere, and it doesn't have to be 24 hours. It can be 24 seconds of restoration if it's deep enough, meaningful enough, and purposeful enough. And I realized that when I had stopped at that fountain and watched it dance, I was finding Sabbath. So that whole year, as I taught that second year of disciple, I learned every week to find a different source of Sabbath, a different way to connect with God who would give rest. If I just longed for it enough and sought it enough and attuned myself to God's presence ever near. And so instead of rushing from the hospital back to the church and then on to somebody's house and grabbing a burger on the way, I would still grab the burger, but I would stop at the cemetery. Now, how many people here find the cemetery a restful place? Some of you are just as nuts as I am. And this cemetery had beautiful blossoming trees. It had great grounds. Plantings, lovely. Even in the dead of winter, it was a place of peace. I didn't know anybody there, except folks that I had buried from the church I was serving. But it was just beautifully located right between one of the hospitals and my church, and I could stop there when I was rushing from one place to another, and I could, instead of eating that burger behind the wheel, sit and take in God's creation and rest a moment and reconnect with God's presence. And over the years, time after time after time, I learned to do that. Which brings me to Mother's Day. Because over the years of preaching on Mother's Day, I had to learn to find Sabbath. I had to learn to find peace with Mother's Day. You see, my mother died when I was 26. So when I started preaching and the first Mother's Day came along, I didn't want to even notice it because she'd already been gone 14 years. 12 years, something like that. I wasn't ready to celebrate Mother's Day. It was still too fresh. And truth be told, I was jealous. I was jealous of people that still had their mothers. My mother-in-law was like a mother to me, but she was in India and I was here. I didn't have a nurturer in my life. And my spirit was just as troubled as years before my body had been weary. Lots of times we ignore Sabbath because of anger, fear, pain, jealousy. There are lots of things that interfere with our Sabbath time, with rest for our spirits. It took me years to realize I could celebrate for and with those people who still had their mothers. and that I could celebrate being a mother, and that I could remember and celebrate my mom. But I also had the experience of finding it painful to celebrate Mother's Day when I wasn't able to have children. It took 6 years and 5 pregnancies for me to produce 2 sons. There are many women out there who find Mother's Day painful because they've lost children. And for a long time, I was angry at God on Mother's Day because I wasn't a mom yet. I had to learn to set that aside and accept Sabbath rest and rejoice for those who were able to be mothers. And strangely enough, it was only after a time of learning to rejoice in other people's motherhood that I finally had a child of my own. Perhaps I had to learn to let go of that pain before it could happen. I'll never know. Some people have difficulty finding Sabbath peace on Mother's Day because their mothers are not the kind of people they'd want them to be. I had a good mother, great relationship with her. I wish everybody could. And it used to shock me when I found that mothers had deserted their children, but I'm less shockable now than I used to be because I've seen too much of it. There's a lot of pain. There's a world of hurt out there. And so today we prayed for mothers who are not able to be nurturers to their children. But what I didn't pray for was that the children would find nurturers in their lives to take the place of those mothers. Nobody ever replaces your mother, but to stand in their stead and nurture them, maybe in God's place. And to be the loving presence of God in their lives. If you have a loving mother, give thanks to God right now, because not everybody does. And so today, I pray Sabbath peace for each one of you. That if there is anything that's interfering with your ability to claim God's presence and peace in your life, and to really celebrate the wonderful women in your lives, that you can set it aside with the grace of God and the help of God. And claim God's love present to us through this community, through the gift of Christian fellowship, through the surrounding of folks who don't have it perfect, but we're working at it. Do you ever try to love somebody unconditionally? For even a few days. It's not easy. But boy, it is the best way of coming to an understanding of how God loves us. And I know that the one time in my life that I have absolutely unconditionally loved was each time I held a newborn baby in my arms. Because God gives us that gift at that moment. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is a promise that God ultimately, unconditionally, always keeps when we go to God and request that peace. No matter what the source of the discomfort, the dis-ease is, God will grant Shabbat Shalom to all who need it. Today, we have bookmarks to give to all the women, not just mothers, but all the women. Because I know some women in this room who never had children of their own, but have nurtured dozens and taken the place of moms who didn't do it. Will you pray with me for the children? Dear God, there are so many children in the world today whose mothers are missing from their lives, at least 4.2 million of them in this country. And on this day when we celebrate mothers, we pray that their mothers will become transformed if they're still living. But we also pray for wonderful, wise, strong, compassionate women to fill their lives and show them your love. In Jesus' name, amen.